I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of faith. You ever hear this word before? Perhaps I will give a slant on it that might be a blessing to you as it was to me when I personally discovered this for myself. Let's talk first about what is faith. You know, what is faith? And then the next thing we'll talk about tonight yet is, how do you know when you're in faith? Now, we hear a lot of talk about faith, how to build it and how to create it, and you should meditate on the Word, and you pray in the Spirit. You do a lot of different things. You listen to people talk, and you read books and all that. And so we talk about, you know, building our faith. And Smith Wigglesworth, as you may know of him many years ago, was an outstanding man of faith, a great man of faith. And he said these words. He said, "I'm not moved by what I see or hear. I'm only moved by what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, then that settles it." And that's what he said, those words. And you can tell that those are words of faith. Those are words of faith. And so we go around and look in different ways in trying to define faith for ourselves, or when we want to tell others what faith is. And but the second part of that question we'll get into a little bit later is, how do you know when you're in faith? You know, if you're praying for something, or something's happening in your life, how do you know if you're in faith or not, you know, when things are happening around you? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, in about faith itself, we want to review a little bit here. It's good for us. Brother Paul, in Hebrews 11, 1, he says a very familiar scripture to you, I'm sure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you are needing something, and so how do you go about getting it? Well, if you have faith for what you want, then that's the substance you need to get what you want. Right. And so that's why Paul talks about it. He has different translations. It's the assurance of things you are hoping for. You have faith inside and you feel, I got it. I know it's going to come to pass. That's what we had to convince Jim in for a long time, that someday is he confessed before you, he is, Jim, you're going to get married someday. I mean, she's just going to be the, you know, sometimes we started out with very few people, maybe I think it was two of us, my wife and me, and so, you know, it wasn't that we had 1,000 member church when Jim came. We didn't. We just simply, and he wasn't the only one looking for somebody. I tell you, I don't know, this is something Emily and I have had common for us, wherever we've walked since we've been Christians, since we've been 30 years old, and that's been just 20 years ago, of course. But, anyway, we had a lot of young people come, and gals and guys, and you have to say the same thing. You know, we should have gotten, should have put it on tape. Here, listen to this tape. but you know, they've all gotten married. They really have. They really did. And you just be where you're supposed to be. That's what we kept telling them. I said, now look, do you believe God brought you to this church? And then stay here, and someday she'll walk through that door. I mean, I've said that so many times to so many different ones. And you know something? They always have walked through that door. Now, what I don't like is when somebody comes and a young lady falls in love with him. A young lady comes to our church. He falls in love with her, and then they both leave. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Shelley came to our church on our invitation, and then she took him with her to Rhema. Oh, but we have forgiven Shelley for that. But that's still the same thing, though. You just be where you're at, and when you're asking for it, and God will always supply. I mean, if you want to get married, yes, he likes that because he created marriage. If you want to get married, you'll get married. I can, you know what, I don't say that from my authority. I say it from the authority of God's Word. And that's why I can always rest assured I'm not lying to them. I'm not fibbing with them. I'm telling them the truth. And it's nice for them and to find out the truth of the Word comes to pass. Amen? But that's what Hebrews 11:1 is all about. And let's go on to another scripture. Jesus talks about little faith, doesn't he? Oh, you of little faith. when they, you know, couldn't walk on the water, or they couldn't do this or whatever it is. And he talked about great faith. And I wanted to show you the two people that he said had great faith. And those two people, you may already, Mr. Jim, Reverend Jim here, Pastor Jim, may have already taught this to you. If you should have, because I preached on this before, you see. But anyway, he talks about great faith in his ministry. And only two people does he address that way. One is a centurion, and that is in Matthew 8:10. You know, I'm going to go through some scriptures, but I'm not going to take the time to read them because of the rest of the message, but you can look that up. Matthew 8:10 was a centurion. You remember he came to Jesus and asked that Jesus would come and heal his servant. And Jesus said, sure, I'll come. And he said, but no, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word and it'll be done. And so Jesus said these words, never in the country of Israel have I seen such faith. Now, he wasn't talking to a Jew. He wasn't talking to an Israelite. He wasn't talking to one of his disciples who'd been with him for a few months. He wasn't talking to any of the prophets that may have been living there. He wasn't talking to anybody of John the Baptist's disciples. He was talking to a man who was a Gentile. You know, he was not of the faith of Israel. Think of that. You know, he didn't go to Rhema. He hadn't gone to Rhema yet, neither. And guess what? He wasn't even a Christian. But yet Jesus says to him, I've not seen such great faith. And the second person was in Matthew 15:28. And here was this woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. She was possessed by a demon. And if you know the story, she comes and begs to Jesus to heal her daughter. And if you know anything about the Jewish faith, the Jewish man will say, thank you, Father, that I am not a woman, that I'm not a Gentile, and I'm not a dog, in that order. Of course, Jesus ripped that all apart, didn't he? He literally whipped it all apart. Our founding Jesus was not, he broke the walls down everywhere. But here was a Syrophoenician woman, a woman from Canaan, from Tyre and Sidon, a woman from Canaan. Now, when you're from Canaan, you're really, really, really on the wrong side of the tracks, if you know what that means. You're really, there's no way that God listens to you. You know, I mean, you're so far away from the chosen person, chosen people. And here this woman is approaching Jesus for a miracle. Would you please heal my daughter? She has a demon. And Jesus, you know, we don't want to say right or wrong. It was Jesus. I did it. And, you know, he ignored her at first. But she came right on and begged. And then she says at the end, you know, Jesus says, the little dogs under the table, you know, are only worthy of the crumbs, you know. I mean, the crumbs are not... Anyway, when breadcrumbs fall, the little dogs eat them. And that's what she said to him. She said, I know that's what they think of me. I know that's what they think of me, but I'm here to ask you yet to heal my daughter. Oh, my. I don't know if any of you have ever been called a dog or whatever it is in our society or your culture that really is demeaning. But that was then. She was a woman, she was a Gentile, and they considered her a dog. And it's interesting, and she says, yeah, even if you call me a little dog, I'm still going to stay here and ask you, beg you, I want you to heal my daughter. And what does Jesus say? Oh, woman of great faith. Great faith. That's number two. I wonder what the people around were thinking of when Jesus said these words. I mean, you know, they had all these religious ideas of you know, who was really close to God, you know. And just think of that. Jesus says, oh, woman, you have such great faith. Oh, I love that. And then he goes, another illustration, in John 4. where Jesus shows us that faith is no respecter of persons in other areas. If you remember, this one here is at the Samaritan well, the woman at the well of Samaria. The disciples had gone into the little town to get some food, and Jesus is tired from the journey, and he's sitting by the well. And it was around noon that this woman comes out for water. Of course, as you know, that's the wrong time of the day. You always come in the morning with all the women when they come out. But this woman had a bad reputation, very bad. In fact, we find out in the story that as Jesus reveals to her what she already knew, that she had had five husbands, and the one that she was living with was not her husband. You know, which tells me that Jesus doesn't agree with a lot of people when they say, if you're living together, honey, that's not marriage, it's living together. And so he read her mail. And this was a woman of, like I said, you know, some of the rabbis would go way out of their way instead of even walking close to her. And of course, Jesus isn't that way. He's sitting there, and he said, "Woman, may I have a drink?" And then goes in the conversation of what Jesus came to offer the world, the living water. But think about that. Jesus is no respecter of persons, and we don't want to be that way either, do we? No matter where we go, who we talk to, whatever it is, you want to know if they're interested in hearing about Jesus, you know? I wonder if, you know, there's something I can say, something I can drop that might open up that they might be interested in Jesus. Now, I mean, you think about it. Here's this woman coming out to Jesus, and he just simply asks a question, "Woman, may I have a drink?" And, of course, she immediately came back and says, "You, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan?" You know, that was unheard of. But Jesus he didn't even think about it. He just said the words. It's awesome, the love of Jesus, the compassion he has. We sang about it tonight, that he has for others. But he didn't turn her down. There's no reason ever when just keep that in mind. When you're coming to God, don't let there be something that the devil uses or your flesh uses or your past uses, your religion uses, to keep you from asking Jesus. That's what it's all about. Nobody gets turned away. Nobody. Nobody. I like that. I didn't get turned away. You didn't get turned away. We're blessed. And then, of course, there is, let's see. Another thing I wanted to share is, there is a verse in the Bible that says that faith worketh through love. That's in Galatians. And I think that verse is there to tell us that we want to, that should be our motive when we pray for others or when we ask God. We're doing it for a reason that it's acceptable to God. You know, like if you ask for 10 oil wells, well, at this moment in your life, that may not be, God may not think that's necessary. You just want it so you can, you know, buy this and buy this and buy that, you know, and you want to spend it, as James says, on the lust of our flesh. And so God doesn't, you know, answer that. That would not be motivated by love, would it? Right. But if you have a relative that's not saved or somebody needs healing, and that love that you have for that person and your love you have for God motivates you to pray for that person. And that's what God, that's pleasing to God. That's very pleasing to God. But I also want to let you know is when we talk about faith, and sometimes we look at faith in different people and evaluate it and judge it, just because you can pray for miracles and pray for different things like this, it does not mean you have love when you're praying. The Bible doesn't say love makes the faith happen. It doesn't say that. It just says faith worketh with love. In other words, they would work together. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But you can just simply have faith with ulterior motives, you know, you can still get something. Jesus says that. I mean, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13. I think I have it here. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Paul says, if I have faith to remove mountains, you know, I can have faith to remove mountains. You can. You can. The Bible says you can. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard to accept. You think, gosh, you've got to have a, you know, no. There are times when I prayed for people and I had a bit of love for them. You know, they came up forward and I didn't even, you know what I mean? This, they came forward for prayer. And I didn't know, have no motivation at all to pray for them except go through the motions. Really, just go through the motions. And praise God, he watched over his word and healed them. See, I didn't have any, I had no compassion for them. I almost wanted to say, I'm very tired, I would like to leave, good night. But we went through the motion. I had no love, but God came through. You know, isn't it good that God doesn't depend upon us entirely on earth? Oh, my. You know, he says, oh, you know, if Gil will just, oh, if he just won't blow this one, if he, oh, you know, if he just makes sure he does it right, and, oh, man, I'm on needles and pins because I just can't bless that person unless he is in the right. No. No, I tell you, God does above and beyond what we ever think or imagine so many times in our lives. Oh, Lord. It isn't that I don't want to love. I want to love. I want to walk in love. It's good. It's a blessing, and we want to. We want to practice what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. We're patient. We're kind. If we're wronged, we overlook it. We don't even remember a wrong that's been done to us. While it might come, but we have no negative feelings about it. We want to do what you know, Paul writes in there about love. We want to do what Jesus, our master, said. You know, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I've loved you. Wow. Now that is an awesome, awesome thing that God gives us. And you know something? You got to realize you can't. And not until God pours his love into you as a brand new believer, you can't begin to love. And if you really, 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 really try to love somebody, you probably fail. But if you acknowledge where the love comes from, that the love is already in here. Oh, God, thank you for that love. Let's let it pour through me, Father, to whoever I'm standing around with and so on. Then God, that activates God to do that. Amen. But you cannot generate it of in and of yourself. You just can't. But God, through you, does it. It's his grace. It's his love, his mercy. And it's very important to realize that in our lives, isn't it? You know, of myself, I can't do anything, and that means loving too. But through Christ, I can do it. And I'll be teaching on that tomorrow on that too. Well, let's go on and then ask you a few more questions, and I pray that they will help you. And if they don't, then Jim will have to straighten it all out, okay? I want to just, you know, quickly go through some questions, and then I will be at the part about how do I know I'm in faith then. I want to ask you this. How about sickness? Say you're really, really, really sick. Now, because you're sick, does that mean you don't have faith? Now, you don't have to answer it. Be careful, dear. But you can answer it just inside. You don't have to raise your hand tonight and all of that. But, you know, I would answer no. I would say, you can be really, really sick. Really, really sick. And that does not mean you're not in faith. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? We think, you know, we hear about somebody getting healed, and we say, oh, man, they had faith. And another person, no, there's many, many illustrations in the New Testament that give us that account. And I'm not going to go over each one of these, but I just want you to think about it. And then you run to your Bible and you say, well, I'm going to find out if that guy was right or not. Finances. What about if a person has lots of money? Does that mean he has faith? No. We pretty well know that one, don't we? We know anybody knows somebody who's really, really, really rich. He doesn't even know who God is. I think you got somebody out of your east like that, don't we? I don't know. How about this? If my needs are being met, I have faith. Oh, am I confusing you? I hope not. No. You know, if you If your needs are being met, or even not being met, I'm just throwing this out because it's all true. If I'm hungry and don't have food available, am I in faith or out of faith? What if I'm being persecuted for my faith in Jesus Christ? Surely that means I'm in faith. No. I wish it did. Well, that's enough questions. But anyway, I'm trying to lead up to is, well, how do you know then when you're in faith? How do you know when you're in faith? Because if you know if you're sick or you're going through this or you're not, and this is happening and this is happening, how do I know I'm in faith? I mean, you know, I've read Brother Hagin's books forward and backwards. I've been reading the Bible. I've been meditating, and this is happening to me. Well, what's wrong? You ever asked that in your life? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that? And so on. And sometimes we doubt ourselves. We think we must not have faith. Well, you must be doing something wrong, otherwise this would be working out. You know, I'm praying for my spouse for how many years and still the same, you know. Does that mean we don't have faith? The answer would be, of course, no. We have faith, and you can be talking to mountains all your life, the same mountain, and it may never move, but you had faith every day of your life regarding that mountain. I hope that encourages you, because, you know, just because things don't always work out right does not mean we're not in faith. And I will tell you, guess who's the best example, of course, besides Jesus, the one in the Bible is Paul. I want you, if you have your Bibles, or if not, I will read that. If you will look at Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Philippians 11, 4, 11 through 13. When I read these scriptures one day, it bounced out at me as how that tells me when I'm in faith. What is it? Not that I speak in regard to need. Listen what Paul is saying here. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned. Notice that. I have learned. That means there was a process involved. In whatever state I am, to be, what's the word? Content. To be content. Now, he went on and described that. He says, I know how to be abased, you know, down in the bottom of the totem pole. I know how to abound with plenty. Now, there's times in Paul's life when, boy, I mean, it was just, if you want to talk about people, finances, whatever it was rolling in. And when it wasn't, he was content. When it was, he was content. Ooh, that says a whole lot, doesn't it? That says something. Let's just hang on to that for a moment. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be, what's the opposite? Hungry. Both to abound with my needs being supernaturally met, and then also to suffer need. And he gives that beautiful answer. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, he had learned that which had produced contentment. What is contentment? It's being at peace. It's not a life that doesn't have tribulations in it. It's not a life without afflictions. It's not a life without challenges. It's an ordinary life that each one of us could also share tonight. All the things you've gone through in your life are going through right now, or will. Paul says in Thessalonians, I told you we'd go through these tribulations, and you would go through these tribulations, so you must have had to tell them, don't sweat it. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. But he said, I've learned to be content in any of these situations. Think of the situations even that he tells about us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 29. You know this too. Five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often in perils of... Not these perils, perils of waters, Perils of robbers, perils of my countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, city, wilderness, sea, false brethren, weariness, toil, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, fastings that I did not choose to do. In other words, there were times when he was hungry. You know, maybe going from one city to the next on foot, no food. What are you going to do? That's a fast. And that's what he's talking about. Fastings that I never chose to go on. It's not the same thing as when my darling wife is one of the best cooks around, you know, and we get to the point where, you know, I'm going to fast. Listen, when I fast from her food, I'm fasting. But when I'm without food, that's a whole nother thing. I don't choose those. I'll choose to fast from her food, but just to fast because I have nothing to eat is another thing. That's what he's talking about there. And he just goes on, besides the things of deep concern for the churches. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't been whipped yet 39 times. I haven't been stoned yet. I've had a stone hit my head accidentally. When we first were married, Emily's little brother, he was about 5 years old, he was with us, and I said, "Don't pick up those stones over there." We were out on an earthen dam, you know. "Don't pick up those stones." You know, he's throwing them all over. And of course, you know, a five-year-old throws it, you know, they go all directions. I said, "Don't pick up a stone." And I was just standing like that, and boom. I mean, a big rock hit my side of my head. That was before I was a Christian. I said things to him that I wouldn't say today. But, you know, I mean, that's just one little stone. I mean, Paul, you know, they thought he was dead. In fact, I think he did die. And then shipwrecked, you know, I don't know about you. I like to swim in a swimming pool, but not in the ocean, because I don't like those sharks coming and nibbling on my toes. 3 times. Think of that. I'm just saying, you know, be encouraged, because our lives probably have not gone through all the things that he did. Okay? And if he, through God's strength, through Jesus Christ, could learn to be content with all those things that were happening to him, do you think maybe his grace is sufficient for us? Yeah. And you see, when we pray for something, a healing, whatever it might be, when we're praying and then waiting, there's when we'll know if we are in faith for what we are believing for. If we can say, "I'm content," that means I'm on hold. I know my Father God's coming through. "Well, how are things going?" "I think very well." "Well, you were praying the other day for that. How's that going?" "I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm content. I'm at peace. I just trusting my Father God. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never failed in this world. He's never failed any time. There's no recorded part where he's ever failed. I'm content. And I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. The bus is coming. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting." And yes. But you know, he said, "Well, what if the bus doesn't come?" "Hey, I'm still content. I'm still content. I know my Lord Jesus Christ. I know Father God. I tell you, since I have been a Christian, thus and thus and thus in my life, since I have read God's word, I have found this to be true and these things to happen in my life. Since my wife and I were married, you know, the first 10 years after we were married, 10 years, we were going to get divorced. I mean, we could have gotten a divorce, put it that way. I don't know, it's been so long ago, dear. But we met Jesus then. And, you know, while we haven't had a problem in our marriage all 50 years, have we, dear? No, we have. But we are learning to be content with each other. We're learning to be content. Remember, I said it's a process. And it doesn't mean, let me make sure you understand this, it doesn't mean that you have to reach a moment of being content before God answers your prayer. No. If you ever had to do that, then you would be the determining factor for prayers. And that's not grace. That's not love. That's not mercy. No. He just wants you to realize, just keep learning. Keep, you know, as Romans 5 talks about, there's experiences we have that generate hope within us. You've looked that up someday, Romans 5, 1-5. We have experiences in Christian walk. And when we have those experiences, and it turns out like the word says it's going to turn out, and it does, then when the next challenge comes, we got some hope in the back pocket, and we pull it out and say, "I'm content. this is going to come true also. You see that? But then you get so finding out how wonderful God is and how good he is and all of that, when the time comes then, when maybe something takes a little longer, you know, maybe you just, you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but I got hearing aids up here. I got glasses too, by the way. I don't know, but people don't have as much problem. Am I half an hour up yet? People don't have as much problem. I was just kidding. People don't have as much problem with glasses, you know. But hearing aids, there's something about those things that people think, what is that? You know, they're like, many times people walk up to me and talk to me and how you doing? It's amazing. But they never have done that with my glasses. You know, never. But I'm just saying is I have been waiting for the manifestation for a long time. I have. I even thought about stop being a pastor and praying for people because if I can't get these things healed, then how can I pray for somebody? Oh, that was a slap in God's face. I really had to apologize for them. As if it was me who was going to do the healing. No, I just want to tell you God heals. And if you'll believe it, he'll do it. That's the message. It's not, well, my ears were healed. Well, there's many miracles that God has done in our lives and in our ministry. Why this hasn't happened yet, it has nothing to do with him. And someday if I get to heaven and I don't get those hearing aids, I mean those ears fixed by that time, you know, I don't care what the reason was, but I may ask Jesus why I didn't get him, because I know it had nothing to do with him. Because everything he did was accomplished once and for all for all of us. But I'm saying is, since I've learned to be content, even though I have hearing aids, and I really, really would like to have ears that could hear as good as my wife can hear so good she can hear what you're thinking, so be careful. But I have learned to be content. And I also don't hesitate to pray for people, whether it's healings and so on and so on. You see that? That's what Paul, I mean, if you look at Paul's record, according to the world, he wasn't very successful at times. In fact, if you look at the record of Jesus, he wasn't very successful at times. But they just kept on keeping on. They had a relationship with the Father. That's where it is, a relationship with Jesus. Knowing that through Christ you can do all things. And that is finish the course of life. All the things that you want to happen may not happen in your lifetime. But you can finish the course of life and then look forward to the future you have in heaven. I mean, hey, when you get to heaven, some of the things that we thought were kind of important down here, will pale in comparison to what the Lord has reserved for us in heaven. Hallelujah. So knowing when you're in faith, I hope that's helped you. I hope it does. That you'll be at peace and when you pray and believe that you receive, you know, you just have a, I don't know, it's hard to describe, a knowing, a trust. This too shall pass, somebody says, and it's eventually going to happen, you know. It eventually will. Don't get too impatient, you know. Faith and patience inherits the promises, and just be into that. But it's a process of learning. Remember, it's not something that drops in you. You sometimes have to go through some fire. You have to go through some tests. I would go back to the beginning of my message. Jim, I think Jim, you know, he wasn't completely content when Shelley came in to that door that day for the first time. He wasn't completely content, but he, you know, but we've been trying all up to that time. Really, I'm serious now. We have been trying to work with him to be content. Because when you're not content, not much fun. You know, we love this guy. But sometimes when he'd come and talk to us the same thing about it the 10th time, that's when we had our challenge to be content. You got that? That's what we are. That's our lives, folks. And this is such a beautiful example we have. I mean, talk about a blessed family. We're so happy for them, the four children, and the example they have in the community, the example from comes way back to Nebraska. We are so thankful, you know, for that. And But see, he had to learn that, though. And by doing it, made a better man out of him, made a better Christian out of him. And then when other things later on have come in that maybe he was waiting for, like a job, you know, he had that experience back then. I know it shall come to pass. Well, I remember those times when I thought, oh, man, am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to get married? And God came through.
Amen.
He did. Well, that's a good experience. And then you need a job, and you wait a little longer. You think maybe, oh, no, it's a coming. It's a coming. Dad, when are you going to get a job? Oh, don't worry, it's a coming. See, that's contentment. And that sure does help us get over the rough spots of life. Oh, it's rough enough, folks, but to get over it through learning how to be content, knowing that through Christ I can do it. Hey, praise God.